Hello, and welcome to Conversations with Lee Fulkerson, a series of podcasts from Plant Care Nation. I'm Lee Fulkerson, and my guest today is Chef Mark Zadia. Chef Mark is also known as the Duke of Fork. He's a natural food chef and culinary instructor specializing in whole food plant-based cuisine. He's a graduate of the School of Natural Cookery's Foundation course and earned a certificate in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. He has completed the plant-based professional certificate course through the Ruby Cooking School, is a member of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and is the group leader of the Plantastic Columbus Plant Pure Pod. Chef Mark lives in Columbus, Ohio with his wife Loretta, who is a yoga teacher and also assists Mark at his cooking classes as the Duchess of Fork, the two through food and lifestyle choices. Welcome to the show, Chef Mark.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. So what was your diet like before switching to a plant-based diet?
Primarily it was the standard American diet. We did the dairy products and the meat products, but I had a little interesting twist in there growing up. My grandparents came from what is now Eastern Slovakia, and generationally the dishes were handed down. My father had seven brothers and sisters, and we mixed in some of the Eastern European type dishes, so things like cabbage rolls and liver was included, and heavy desserts with a lot of pastries and cream. So I have a Slovak cookbook that was published about 1950, and I think it's actually still being done as a fundraiser for organization in Cleveland. And it's filled with things that now I realize no one really should be eating these things for any reason whatsoever. All these very heavy dishes, very meat-based dishes. So growing up, that's what I was exposed to, and, you know, I love those things going forward, and, just a lot of the things that everyone else was eating. I worked full-time for a lot of companies for 37 years and ate in cafeterias and a lot of fast food at lunchtime just to get it done and to get back. So probably not too much different than what a lot of people on the standard American diet are eating.
Exactly. So when and why did you become a convert to plant-based diet?
I've been completely plant-based for just about 5 years now. Was vegetarian for some time before that. My wife has been vegetarian for well over 30 years, so she had a little influence on me to kind of come along. It got a little difficult at some point while we were raising four kids for her to prepare two different kinds of meals. So as we got a little farther along, I started eating more vegetarian-type meals. The why behind it really centers around family history. I mentioned earlier my father had seven brothers and sisters. Mm. Every one of them had heart disease.
Oh, dear.
My mom also had heart disease. Her brother had heart disease. So, you know, I can see things like heart disease running in the family. Mm-hmm. I had one sister who passed away about 5 years ago from breast cancer. And I decided, you know, I don't want to deal with any of this. So I want to do the right type of things from a dietary perspective and exercise. Everything kind of works together to lead a healthier lifestyle.
So was it difficult for you to make the switch?
Yes and no. Some things were very easy to work out of my diet. Things like beef and chicken, I really don't miss too much. Dairy products were more difficult. And they were about the last thing to go. So I mentioned earlier the scenario and the situation I had when I was growing up. We always had things like ice cream and yogurt and butter and cream cheese in the house.
Sure.
And I found the meat products and switching to more vegetables and plant-based sources of protein to be much easier than it was to get rid of dairy. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the whole casein and caseomorphin thing that goes on with dairy products being physically addictive. So that was the more difficult part for me. I also learned how to prepare more of the foods that I love to eat. So the Eastern European, the paprikash and the stroganoff and the cabbage rolls in a much healthier version, no oil and using all plant-based products rather than the traditional products that go into it. So I don't know that it was particularly difficult. It did take some mindfulness. It took learning different ways to do things. And, you know, fortunately, my wife was highly supportive of me doing, making the conversion, but going into the type of work that I do now with plant-based foods.
Yeah, having the support of a family member, I think, is really, really important. And I hear that a lot, too, about the biggest problem being changing or eliminating dairy products.
Yes. I do see quite a bit when I work with people on an individual basis. Many of them have heart disease. Mm-hmm. And in so many cases, Lee, I see where the spouse is not really supportive. So I went out and gave some cooking lessons to a gentleman who had quadruple bypass surgery. And we were looking at different ways to change his diet and to work more plant-based in. He was 100% behind it. He really wanted to do it. And during the course of the cooking class I was giving him in his home, his wife came in, and she's a very nice lady, but she came in and she said, "Well, I have to leave now. I ordered, I think it was like a half of a cow from the butcher." And she was on her way to go pick it up. And he, you know, so I could see his frustration that she wasn't really on board with what he was doing. And he received no nutritional counseling from the hospital after his surgery. And this was literally a week after he got home from it. So, you know, you're 100% right. Having a supportive spouse, having a supportive family is really very important as people make this change. And it's great if everyone can do it together.
Yeah. So what changes or improvements did you notice in your own health or physicality, physical well-being, sense of well-being when you changed to a plant-based diet?
The immediate issue that I saw kind of resolve is I had, for years and years and years, going all the way back to when I was a kid, just horrible sinus issues. Constant sinus infections. I would be in the doctor's office maybe once or twice every winter for ear infections, nosebleed.
Right.
And it really took me a while to put two and two together to realize, since I've gone to a completely plant-based diet, those issues are gone. The ear infections, the sinus infections, I've had no issues with them over the last few years. I also noticed I have a lot more energy. I think my wife would get a little frustrated with me sometimes because late in the evening I'd be falling asleep on the couch and I just feel so much better. I'm going to be 60 this year and, I feel really pretty good. I went through a time when I was working where I was having some chest pain and had a monitor for 48 hours. Nothing came out of it, but occasionally I'd feel this tightness in my chest or just some soreness in my chest. That's gone. So, you know, generally, I feel pretty good. You know, I think exercise and diet combined are the ways to go. Probably can step up my exercise game even a little bit more. But just dietary changes alone did some wonders for different issues that I was having.
That's fantastic. That's really interesting. When and why did you get interested in becoming a chef?
I was 53 years old. My sister would be working, so I would come home and from school, or I had an after-school job, come home and get some dinner going, and I had to learn how to cook and do things on my own as a chef. And I remember going to his restaurant when I was very young and just being so enthralled with him when he would come out of the kitchen wearing the toque and the chef coat and everything. I mentioned earlier, I worked for big companies for a long time, and I went through a period about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, that I just thought there has to be something else. I really want to move on. I was getting a little bit burned out, and I looked at what was going on with my coworkers and the type of food that was being served. And really decided I wanted to do some things to help people. And originally I looked at going into maybe a registered dietitian program where I could work with people on an individual basis. And then I thought, I really don't want to get out of the kitchen. I want to continue. I love to cook. Really want to work on developing my own recipes. So I looked at some different culinary schools and ended up going to one in Boulder. But, you know, it was just more of wanting to maintain my cooking skills, wanting to keep doing that, but also not working in a restaurant right. working as more of a private personal chef and teaching some classes to try and reach more people that way and showing them how simple it can really be.
So were you originally a chef of traditional cuisine, or was it plant-based from the beginning?
My training is all in plant-based.
Okay.
You know, of course, before going to culinary school and before jumping all the way into a plant-based diet, I was preparing more traditional meals at home, pasta dishes mm-hmm. and chicken and turkey dishes. So as far as training goes, no. Went strictly into plant-based for it and have done a couple programs to develop those skills.
Where did you learn about the benefits of a plant-based diet? Did you read the China Study, for instance, or Dr. Esselstyn's work or anything like that?
I read the China Study and watched a few movies. So I watched Food Incorporated. Forks Over Knives came out right around the time that I was in culinary school. So I wanted to do a vegan program mm-hmm. and looked at the different – there were three vegan culinary schools at the time. And the more I got into that, there was more information coming out centered around – you know, I mentioned Forks Over Knives and some of the things,
yeah.
other books. So I did a lot of reading, got into the Engine 2 diet, and then I went through Dr. Campbell's nutrition studies course not long after completing my culinary training, and that really brought everything together for me. That's just an awesome program, and I use that information every single day, particularly when I'm designing cooking classes. I want to talk to and demonstrate to people not only the how of how to prepare plant-based, highly nutritious, health-supportive meals, but why and the science behind it. And that's where
yeah.
I think I've been more successful with my cooking classes is getting down into the nitty-gritty and showing people simple dishes that can be easily prepared at home, but also talking about here's the why and the science behind doing it this way.
Do you recommend that your students read any of these materials or see anything like that, or do you just sort of keep it at, you know, what you're telling them?
No, I do recommend and hand out a list of reference material in a lot of my classes, quite a few books. So, you know, Forks Over Knives, Plant Pure Nation, The Engine 2 Diet, Dr. Esselstyn's Prevent Reverse Heart Disease books. And then I also say, you know, start with watch the movies and then get the book and read it, get the cookbooks. I get a lot of people asking me about cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm very cautious is – you know, you can walk that fine line. There's an awful lot of really good vegan cookbooks out there.
Yeah.
But they also make liberal use of oil, salt,
mm-hmm.
sugar. So I'm
mm-hmm.
very specific with people. If you want to get those cookbooks, and there's some really good ones out there that you can work with, you may have to do some conversion of the recipes and learn a little bit more about how to take those recipes and make them completely plant-based, maybe eliminate the oil. I do some no-oil cooking classes for people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do talk about the difference between a vegan diet and a healthy vegan or plant-based diet, because those can be
right.
really two different things.
Very different, yes.
Yes.
Very different indeed. I mean, technically, you know, French fries are a vegan dish. So,
yes.
You know.
Twinkies and beer.
There you go, Twinkies and beer.
Right.
I could have Twinkies and beer all the time and have a pure,
yes.
purely vegan diet, but it wouldn't be too good for your health.
No.
So what was the most difficult aspect of becoming a plant-based chef for you?
Going through the training itself, it was very intense. You know, a lot of days. The one little stumbling block I had early on was finding a school that had a good, solid vegan or plant-based program. So your
mm-hmm.
larger culinary schools like Culinary Institute of America and Cordon Bleu and some of the more popular schools will teach some vegan, plant-based methods and dishes, but it's really not what they do. They're more traditional,
right.
high-end, traditional cuisine. So at the time that I started looking and researching, there were three schools that I could find that actually had a plant-based or a vegan program. One is in New York, one is in Austin, Texas, and then I settled on one in Boulder, Colorado. So that was just, you know, going through that process and finding it, being away from home for almost a year. Boulder, fortunately, is a wonderful place. And, if you have been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. I had a little house that sat on a lake in the foothills, so it was very transformative.
Wow.
And it was just an awesome place to be. But being away from family and being away from friends for almost a year was a little difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, now more schools are getting on board. There's a lot of online training that people can go through. But just, you know, initially finding that school that was the right fit, that worked with my time frame and had everything that I wanted was a little challenging. I'm hoping that more schools will get on board or more will spring up around the country. There's a need for it.
Yeah, I tend to think they probably will, considering that the interest in this type of eating is growing. And certainly people like you, I think, are going to have an influence on that. We'll just keep our fingers crossed and hope that this does grow exponentially. I mean, only 3 in the whole country is not very good right now, but at least
no.
There's some. Yeah.
Well, and fortunately, we do have, rather than a professional level course, there are some out there that you can go through. But I'm also seeing more and more people just teaching, as I do, individuals who learn. So that,
right.
I think, is where the groundswell is. And as that becomes more popular and as there's more and more of a need, places will need to step up and offer more classes of plant-based dishes or plant-based certification programs. It should,
mm-hmm.
You know, the demand is going to drive the market more or less. So as we stand up and Plant Peer Nation movement grows and more pods are out there, more people will become interested in that line of work, as I did, and there will need to be a place that they can go.
And it'll snowball from there, we hope.
Yes, it will.
So what are your most popular plant-based dishes now, and how did you develop them?
I like to show people very simple dishes and try not to make it difficult for them. I think a lot of folks watch cooking shows on television, and there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of fast movement, and there's a lot of high-end ingredients. And it kind of, I think some of the cooking shows are kind of destroying how we think about cooking and eating. So when I look at teaching and when I look at cooking for myself or for clients, I tend to focus on simple dishes. So some of the ones that I really love to do are creamy soups made with cashew milk rather than heavy on dairy products.
Right.
I love to do a creamy broccoli soup with some nutritional yeast in it. And I show people that the same method can be used to make any kind of creamy soup. So I've done broccoli, tomato, asparagus, same way. I did a creamy broccoli soup of location in Ohio, and the food educator at this particular thing, she said, "This is the best creamy soup I've ever had." and she saw what I put into it. It was cashew milk and really mm-hmm. a lot of heavy things that are not really good for you. So I took that as a compliment because she's involved in this program and she teaches a lot of classes. The other dish that I like to show people how to do is just a very simple sauté. Had a lot of success mm-hmm. with this. It involves taking 4 or 5 vegetables of whatever you like. It can be anything, maybe some onions, sautéing them in a skillet, no oil in there, just add a little bit of water, vegetable broth as you go along, adding some kind of a protein source in, so tofu, mm-hmm. tempeh, seitan, and then serve it over a grain. So in the way that I cook and the way that I teach is I tell people to get a complete meal, try to get a grain, a protein source, what we would consider a high protein source, as there is protein in everything, and then some mm-hmm. vegetables in there, and you've got a complete meal. Add a sauce onto it. But I think plant-based cooking, you know, still scares some people. They're not sure how to work with vegetables and substitutions. So that particular dish, I love to show it. It's a very popular dish because once you understand that method, you can make that dish just by varying your vegetables or your protein or your herbs and spices, the things that are going, you can make it literally millions of different ways and never the same way twice. It's a great cooking method to come home if you're in a hurry when you get home from work. You have some things, in the refrigerator that are starting to look a little shop-worn that you want to use up. Very, very simple method to use and to make a very healthy dish.
Really, that sounds like incredibly versatile, and that's really important, I think, for people, especially, like you say, who don't have a lot of time to cook and who have to cook for themselves. It sounds like something that they could whip up real easily, and you can do it in so many different ways, it seems. So.
Yes. A lot of people, I think, are on, you know, the 80-20 rule. 80% of their diet involves the same 20% over and over and over again. We tend to eat a lot of the same things. Mm-hmm. And when I cook for myself or I cook for a client or I am teaching a class, I talk about variety and how important it is to get a good variety in your diet. And again, you know, this particular method is the way to do it. It's very simple. It's very quick and different all the time. I don't know that I've ever made it the same way twice. And this is my go-to dish at home. If we're looking in the refrigerator and we don't know what, you know, what's for dinner tonight, I'll grab some vegetables and an onion, maybe rinse off a can of some kind of beans and put it all together, and we've got a great meal very quickly.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what do you do now to spread the message of plant-based nutrition?
I teach a lot of cooking classes. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and I work with everyone from health organizations. I work with a health insurer in Columbus, mm-hmm. runs a monthly cooking class that I go in, and we do healthy cooking options. There is a cooking school that I work with at a conservatory in Botanical Gardens that has a very active program. Do a lot of classes there. My wife and I pair up together. My wife is a full-time yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We do a workshop called Yoga Mat to Placemat, where my wife will do a 90-minute to 2-hour class using yoga and therapy balls to release tension and foam rollers. Mm-hmm. And then I follow up with a 90-minute to 2-hour, just depends on the location, cooking class, plant-based cooking class. That has been really great for us because, you know, first, it's the first opportunity that my wife Loretta and I have had to work together in that sense since we've been married. It's great. We really enjoy it. And then showing people the whole picture. So diet and exercise.
Right.
People leave there, they've got the tools that they need to go home and live a much healthier lifestyle. Spreading the word, you know, I'm involved, obviously, with Plant Pure Nation as the group leader in Columbus, where we really just have started getting going recently. And mm-hmm. With being on vacation and all here recently, we'll really hit it much heavier and harder in June and July, get some things going there. But mm-hmm. Primarily, you know, I mentioned earlier, when I teach classes, it's the cooking methods, but also the science behind it. So the why, and I think to talk about nutrition, we have a lot of people who do cooking classes, and they're going to show you a dish, and you're going to go home, and you might make it, and you might not. I actually took a cooking class here. I'm in Santa Monica today, and took a cooking class here, which was wonderful at a plant-based restaurant here, but it was also very high-end, and there was no mm-hmm. discussion of any of the nutritional factors behind it, or very little that went into it. So that, I think, is important to talk about. So I'm going to keep up with that and keep up with doing some cooking work for individual people who maybe want to eat more healthfully but don't have time to do it on their own. I enjoy the cooking classes. I grew up doing theater work, so it's my little outlet to be out in front of people and entertaining a little bit. I try to make it an experience, but also have them walk away with some really good, solid information.
How'd you come up with the name The Duke of Four?
That was just kind of a brainstorm. I love wordplays, and I love alliteration. So we were sitting around. I had a few people in my class with me with the director of the school, and we were talking about things like marketing and naming your businesses, And it just, you know, instead of the Duke of York over in England, I came up with the Duke of Fork. And honestly, the director of the school looked at me and then I think she wasn't too keen on it. But I wanted something that people would remember. She said, it really doesn't say anything about your business. And I said, well, that's true, but I think people will remember it. And, you know, we talk about things like Amazon really doesn't say anything about what they do. It's
right.
a name and people remember it. But,
exactly.
But it's mostly just a little wordplay that I enjoyed. And I think people get a charge out of it when they look at the name and they see it and they say, oh, you know, that's a great name.
Well, it is very catchy, I got to tell you that. And
thank you.
do I need to refer to you as Your Highness or anything like that, or is it?
No, quite all right, quite all right. But that does make, of course, that makes my wife comes very frequently and assists me as my sous chef when I do cooking classes. And that, of course, makes her the Duchess. Days that she can't make it when she's teaching and she can't come to a class or something that I'm teaching, people always say, where is the Duchess? So we're the Duke and the Duchess.
I love it. Well, then your daughter is going to be heir to a dukedom, I imagine.
That's right. I actually have a son and three daughters who are grown and living in different places other than Columbus, Ohio. And a grandson, so we'll start coming up with names for them and passing the lineage down to, you know, the Duke, the Duchess, the Princess. I'm not quite sure how that all works. I'll have to read up on my royal hierarchy of Great Britain. See how that'll work.
You can find it on Wikipedia. I think Wikipedia has a rating of all the different. Levels of royalty. Duke is really high, by the way. Duke is right below being a king. So either way.
Well, great. I'm on the either that, or I need to watch more Downton Abbey to figure it out.
There you go. By the way, are your kids plant based?
Not all of them. So I have one of my daughters does primarily plant-based, but being that she lives on the coast of Wilmington, North Carolina, she does eat some fish.
Mm-hmm.
But she does a lot of plant-based as well. The rest, I'm working on them. I will say that when we go to visit, particularly up with my son and his family are up in Rhode Island, they really are great, and they go out of their way to accommodate our plant-based way of eating and lifestyle. My daughter-in-law is just super, and she's a fantastic cook. So she'll research and she'll put meals together that we love, and then I'll take my turn in the kitchen and show her a few new tricks. But it's very nice to go places and to be with family and have them go out of their way to prepare meals. But full-time plant-based, not yet. I'm going to keep working on all of them.
Yeah, well, don't forget, you're something like that.
That's right. We'll have the town crier show up on somebody's front lawn saying, you must do this. The Duke commands it.
The Duke commands.
That's right.
So what inspiring to be a plant-based chef?
I would tell them absolutely to do it. We really can't have enough people in the plant-based movement doing the right kind of thing. So my suggestion would be to do your homework and look at the various schools that are out there, get some nutrition training, go through the plant-based certification course that Dr. Campbell offers, look at the various options, and decide exactly what it is that you want to do. So in my case, I did not want to work in a restaurant.
Right.
I just think, you know, I have a good friend who was not plant-based, but he opened a restaurant not too long ago. It's been very successful in our neighborhood, and he's there pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that I don't want to work hard. It's just I don't want to be working crazy hard.
You're right.
And I also wanted to reach people on a more individual basis. So decide, do you want to do personal chef work or some private chefing? There's a lot of opportunities out there. Unfortunately, I didn't get this particular job, but I interviewed a couple of years ago to be chef at a place that wanted a plant-based chef, a yoga retreat center that happened to be 1,000 yards off the coast of the Pacific Ocean in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad gig.
That would be a pretty damn good gig.
Yeah, it would be a really good gig. There's a vegan culinary school in Mallorca, Spain, that I just saw recently is looking to expand. They're looking for chef instructors. There's a need for it. So I actually get this question quite a bit. You know, I'm thinking about being a plant-based chef. How do I go about that? So, you know, decide what it is exactly that you want to do and then find the right training for that. I would suggest to folks to at least go through, even if it's an online course that's out there. I went through the Ruby School recently. They have an online professional plant-based certification.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful course. It's a lot of work. So it took me about 7 months to complete it. But it goes through all the basics of steaming and roasting, but it also gets into some nutritional pieces and chapters. There's a lot of cooking that's involved. So you prepare a dish, you show your mise en place, so your whole setup, and you take a picture, and then the dish in processing, you take a picture, and the final plated dish, and you send it up to the chef instructors, and they offer advice and feedback and grade you on it. So there, you know, it's, we talked a little bit earlier, we need that. This is an example of how people are starting to step up and offer more training for people. So I do recommend get some level of professional in-depth training because you're going to be working with people. Eating is one of the most, I'll say, intimate things that people do and very personal.
Absolutely.
For people.
Very much.
So if you're going to be providing food, you're going to be providing fuel for people that has an impact on their health as well. You want to make sure you're doing the right kind of things. So, you know, look at the schools, get some training, learn some things about nutrition, and go for it. You know, I don't, when I talk to people who want to be a plant-based chef, I don't look at them as being, I'm not a competitive person.
Right.
Where, well, this person's going to come in and play in my sandbox. No, I want to welcome people. Yes, go and do it. Get the training, figure it out, and then start working with people.
It seems to me there's plenty of room out there for more people like you, and there's a real demand for it as well. Do you find it's easy to fill up your classes?
Yes. I will be candid and say it's a little seasonal. So as we get into the month of May, there's what I call May madness for people. It's end of school year. Kids are playing baseball and soccer. So different times of the year tends to slow down a little bit, but for the most part, my classes have been very full. I did a hands-on class not too long ago on ethnic cuisine. So how to take traditional, we did a paella and we did a ceviche and different dishes that you normally wouldn't think of as being plant-based.
That class sold out,
and I actually had some friends who called and said, you know, I tried to get into your class, and the husband thought the wife had registered, and the wife thought the husband had registered, and he had a couple more spaces in. So we had close to 20 people for a hands-on class, which is, for that particular location, quite a few. And I try to offer a variety of classes, and the nice thing is I'm seeing a lot of the same people coming back, so they want to learn more. They want I'm doing a class on dairy-free desserts in a couple of weeks. They want to learn about that. I do a lot of classes on seasonal cooking, so working with what's seasonal and fresh. In Ohio, in December, you're dealing more coming in and what looks good at the grocery store rather than farmer's market, where if I was somewhere that had a constant supply of nice fresh food, it would be a little bit different. But I guess getting back to your question, I am seeing an awful lot of interest in the classes, both from a public cooking class, and I do get a lot of people who call and say, can you come to my house and teach me some things where I can really be more specific with them and get under the skin a little bit more to say this is a particular cooking method and talk more about nutrition individually with them.
Oh, that sounds like it's a great idea and a great opportunity for whoever gets that kind of one-on-one training, especially since it's in their own home. I mean, it's in their own kitchen and with their own implements and things like that. And
yes.
So that must be a lot more accessible to those people.
It's familiar territory for them, and I think sometimes in a large cooking class, people are a little hesitant to ask your question or to do it. It's hoping I might make a mistake or say something that doesn't make sense. So, and I do those kind of things. So, you know, I get it, but to go into someone's home and, you know, I try to make it fun for people and enjoyable to take any kind of pressure off of them. And we talk about knife skills, or I'll chat with people a little bit in advance and just say, what is it that you really want to know? How can I help you? Everyone's a little bit different where they are in their journey. So I try to meet people where they are and tailor a class specifically to their needs. So getting back to your previous question about advice for people who want to be a chef, that's the kind of thing that we need more people to do. You know, so I, if there's someone who is listening to this who has some thoughts about being a plant-based chef, I would say absolutely go for it. It is very rewarding. It's very fun. You get to meet a lot of interesting people, and it's very satisfying to walk away and say, you know, I had an impact on that person's life and on their health.
Yeah, what a tremendous way to make an impact. Now, the school that you graduated from, the original one, that would a Natural Cookery Foundation course, was it doing well when you were there? Was it packed with students, or was it kind of struggling, or do you have any sense of that?
No, it was doing well. So there were a couple different things that they offered at the time. It's the School of Natural Cookery. They have since gone, I believe, to a strictly online format. So when I was looking at culinary schools, I wanted something that would be a little smaller, more or less. So this particular school, there I had four people, including me, in the class. And the director of the school, it was actually in her home. So she put in a large commercial kitchen. I think the most that it could accommodate at any one given time was 12 students. Mm-hmm. And the class after mine was much larger. For the first 8 weeks, it was a 16-week program. The first 8 weeks, it was me and one other person who also happened to be from Ohio out there, and two women took the course, the initial part of the course, online, watching videos, and then they came to the school in Boulder to finish out and do the rest of the course there. I think I mentioned earlier the school has since gone to an online format. I also looked at a school in Austin, Texas, which is called the Natural Epicurean School. They offer not only a vegan, vegetarian, but they offer Ayurvedic, macrobiotic classes.
Interesting.
That particular school is now also associated with its a set of yoga studios down there, so they're working on bringing the whole thing together, similarly to what my wife and I are doing with Yoga Mat to Placemat. The key difference, the two things that were a decision factor for me is, one, I loved the mountains when I was in Colorado. Austin is, and I thought, you know, getting in, it's a much larger school, it's doing extremely well, but to get that many people into a kitchen with the stoves and the ovens and everything going, so I kind of said, all right, I'm going to go to Colorado for that. The other piece of it is that there's internships involved. So the school that I went to in Colorado did not require any kind of internship or externship, where the school in Texas will require that. The third school I looked at is the Natural Gourmet Institute in New York. That's a great school. And personally, I just decided I didn't want to live in New York City for 6 months going towards the wintertime. But they've got a fantastic reputation. It's nice to see those schools doing very, very well. And then we talked a little bit earlier about the Ruby School, which is all online. But my particular schooling, it was a great course. We really learned a lot of different methods, and the whole curriculum was built on cooking without recipes. So in the whole time that I was there, we never used one recipe.
That's really
interesting. We learned methods. We learned how things work. We learned how to put and compose meals using various ingredients. There was a spice rack that had about 50 different spices in it. Nothing was labeled. So we learned how to use spices based on smell and taste and whether they'll work well in the dish or not. It was very eye-opening, of course, because I'm so used to reading recipes and it's just by rote. Okay, I need a quarter cup of this and a cup of this, and pan fry it, whatever. Where if you can get into cooking without recipes and what she called, the director called, intuitive cooking, it really opens the world up for you. So you can go to the grocery store or you can go to your farmer's market and you can pick up an item that maybe you've never worked with before and take it home. And just by understanding maybe how it grew, what kind of a vegetable or product it is, you can try some different things with it and have fantastic meals all the time. It's a really different way of thinking about things.
No, that's very interesting and very different than what I would think would be the natural curriculum in a place like that. Is that the kind of method that you follow in your cooking classes as well, or do you offer recipes?
I do offer recipes in my classes. I like to meet people where they are. So a lot of folks come to my cooking class are seasoned cooks. A lot of them are just getting into plant-based and they want to know more about it. So I'll hand a recipe out, but we'll really break the recipe down and say, all right, this recipe has these ingredients. What could you possibly substitute? It's like I used to judge science fairs with kids, and they would show me their science project. And one of the questions we always asked was, if you did this again, how would you make it different? How could you do this experiment differently? And I do that in my cooking classes. All right, we've made this dish. How would you take this? Let's break it down. What are the ingredients? What do we put in it? How would you make it differently? And to me, this is a key for people who do like to use recipes. If you understand what goes into it,
right,
you break it down and start making substitutions and make that recipe different almost every time.
Well, I think it sounds like a great approach, because then one recipe isn't just one recipe. It becomes the basis for a whole bunch of different things. It's like a theme and variation in music or something like that.
Exactly. Good reference. Good music reference. I like that.
Lucky for me. So what advice do you have for someone who's thinking of converting to plant-based?
I would say what worked for me is I keep things fairly simple. I would also encourage people to turn off the cooking shows that are on television, unless it's a vegan-based. I think there's a new vegan-based cooking show that's going to be coming on, plant-based cooking show, fairly soon. I saw a Facebook post about that somewhere. I need to find out more about that. One of the big aha moments for me was I really had to change my mindset about health and particularly around what you hear about genetics. So, it's a revelation when you start thinking about, I hear a lot of people say, well, obesity runs in the family.
Exactly.
Heart disease runs in the family. What runs in the family are habits.
Mm-hmm.
So generally we see families cooking and eating and doing a lot of things the same way. So yes, that disease runs in the family, but it may not be genetic. It may just be the type of things that you're doing. So if you can kind of think in terms of, I can make the change, I can be healthier, I kind of consider myself an example of that, in that, as I mentioned earlier, heart disease has been rampant on both sides of my family. Both my parents passed away from heart disease. My dad was only 53 years old, had a heart attack when he was 49, a stroke at 51, and a heart attack that he died from at 53. My mom had bypass surgery and passed away when she was in her early 70s. So just kind of change your way of thinking about not only yourself and how your body works and how health works and what has been going on in your family, but then take that a step farther and say, all right, I need to make some changes to my diet. Keep it simple. Think about where you are. You don't have to necessarily jump into creating 5-star meals at every meal. I personally think simple is better. And, you know, like, for instance, Kim Campbell's Plant Pure Nation cookbook is fantastic for someone who's coming into new to a plant-based way of cooking and eating, because it offers so many really good, healthy, simple, easy to make, quick to make recipes, and they're variations on things that people are already eating. So look for those kind of cookbooks that offer you something. Well, I like pasta dishes. I like Mexican food. I like Asian type food. A lot of different places you can go. Go to your local library and check some out before you make the purchase. But it's just, you know, the best advice I can give people is just go for it, get into it, maybe make those small changes. A lot of people come to classes and they say, all right, if I'm going to go plant-based, what should I be looking, what do I do first? And I'll tell people, well, there's really three big things, and you have to decide what's right for you. One would be work meat products, animal products out, get the dairy out, and processed food.
Mm-hmm.
Processed food is just, you know, it's bad all the way around. And a lot of people will come back and say, you know, I've stopped eating the heavily processed food, the ready-made meals, the junk food, and I feel better already. And then they're working on getting meat and dairy products out. Everyone's a little bit different, you know, so just meeting them where they are, finding out what's going to work for them, but not being afraid to do it. Other advice, you know, might be as much as I hate to say this sometimes, don't listen to your friends.
Right.
You're going to, when you start telling people, I'm going to go to a plant-based diet or I'm going to go to a vegan diet, people are going to look at you. And, of course, what's the big question that they're going to ask me? Where are you going to get your protein?
Yeah, exactly. They always where are you going to get your protein? Exactly.
Where will your protein come from? So don't concern yourself so much with what other people think. It's you. It's your body. Mm-hmm. It's your health. You have to make that break. And, you know, I still get that. I've been plant-based now 5 years, and as a plant-based chef, I still get people asking me the questions, or I tell them, I'm a plant-based chef. Well, what does that mean, and what kind of things do you eat? I think they think I'm eating nuts and berries all day, where my diet is great, you know, and it's not just because I've been through culinary school and I'm a chef. It's because I'm working with the things that I really love to eat now. And
right.
There are things now I can't ever see myself going back to it, because I feel good. There's a lot of flavor. It to me, it's more interesting to go to, and a little bit of a challenge to go to your local farmer's market and just grab some things and bring them home and make an awesome meal with it. So for those who are listening, if you're thinking about going plant-based, now is the time. Don't be afraid. Grab some books, listen to some podcasts, listen to some of the, or watch some of the videos that are out there. It's just working with different ingredients. It's going to be the same cooking methods that you already know.
Well, Chef Mark, you've been extremely enlightening, and I really thank you for sharing your story with
thank
our
you.
Listeners. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
I'm delighted to do it, and I appreciate you inviting me to come on and chat with you. It's been great. Really enjoyed it.
Great. Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.